Morning. Today's daf in Nazir is daf Yud Gimel. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is learned Zeich Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We start today with the mission on the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis. I'm in Nazir Lichshieli Ben. This person obviously struggling for a child, and specifically for a son. So he says that when I have a son, I'm going to become a Nazir. First Tosus on the Mishnah says he's going to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu Perish. So it's a way of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, look, thank you so much to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for providing me for a son. So if I have a son, and when I have a son, I'm going to be a Nazir. So the Mishnah says, what's the result of him having a son? So as a result of him having a son, he's going to be a Nazir. This seems to be obvious, meaning he's making a Tanai, he's throwing a condition onto his Nazir, so he's going to be a Nazir. When he says, if I have a son, and he does have a son, so he's going to become a Nazir. And as Tosus points out, the Gemara later on is going to ask, that seems to be Pasha, seems to be obvious. So stay tuned, because the Gemara is going to be bothered by that very question. If he has any other type of child, he has a daughter, he has a tumtum androgynous, tumtum someone who does not know which gender they are, androgynous someone who demonstrates both genders, ain't no Nazir. This person is not going to be a Nazir, because again, he was very specific, he wanted a son. And so his Nazirus condition is connected to having a son, so he's only going to be a Nazir if he has a son. Once again, as Tosus points out, the Gemara is going to ask the question. This also seems to be obvious. So the Gemara is going to try to explore what the Havaminas may have been.
Fascism is obvious.
Huh? Okay, correct. Im amar kishiyeh li vlad. However, if his statement was, I'm not specific, I just want a child, and he says a vlad, afilo no lo bas tum tum vajoganos or is a nazir. So there, if he has a viable child, and it's the gender could be either unknown or demonstrative of both, or if he has a daughter, either one of them, that's a vlad, that's a child, and how is a nazir? And as a result of that, he in fact is going to be a nazir.
Why do they compare it to a girl?
What?
It could be either or. I mean, it's a question mark, right?
No, it's a statement. The Mishnah is making a statement. The Mishnah says that if he says the word Vlad, so the word Vlad is going to be inclusive. It'll be inclusive of anything. Okay, good. Now, Hipilo Ishto. Now, the Mishnah on the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah now deals with the following scenario. Let's say his wife unfortunately miscarries. Okay, and generally speaking in Halacha, a miscarriage could either be sometime during the term, or it can even be immediately after delivery of the child, right, within the first 30 days of life. Now, it could be one of two possibilities. Either it was a viable child, it just simply suffered an early death, or it could be that the child to begin with was never viable. Okay, and that always remains a suffix. Just as a simple example, it's an unfortunate example, but as a simple example in the world of avelos. So you know the halach is that you misabel over a child. God forbid a child dies, so you're an avel. But if it was a miscarriage, so you're not going to be an avel. So why not? In other words, and even if the child, God forbid, the child is born and dies within 30 days, so you're also not an avel. So why? Because it may not have been a viable child. In other words, avelos is only for something which is viable. This is not viable, so therefore you're not an avel. Now, in the world of avelos, we're mekel, meaning we're generally speaking, in the case of suffix, we don't know whether it was or wasn't, so we're mekel. So here he made a condition that he was going to become a nazir if his wife was going to have a son. His wife did, but unfortunately came out as a miscarriage. So now, ain't no nazir. So the Tanakam of our Mishnah, which the Gemara later on will point out, is Rabbi Yehuda, says that this person is not going to be a nazir. Why? Because it's a suffix. And when other way around, meaning we're going to be mekel, meaning he only is going to take upon himself nazirus when it was definitively a son. But over here, it may not have been a viable child, so therefore he's not going to be a nazir. Suffix nazirus la'akel, when we have a suffix as to whether or not a person took on nazirus from to begin with, so we're going to be mekel. So the Tanna Kamma says he's not going to be a nazir. Rabbi Shimon Omer Yomar. So Rabbi Shimon says you should make the following statement. Now, before we go over the statement to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon is going to take the other side of this basic machlokus. Rabbi Shimon says that suffix nazirus lahachmir, that this person over here took on being a nazir even from a position of suffix. But here's the problem. The problem is that you can't just simply say we're going to be machmir. To just simply say we're going to be machmir in of itself is not enough, because there are two things to take into consideration regarding every single nazir. When you become a nazir, okay, so for 30 days you're not going to drink wine and no haircut and you're not going to go to a cemetery. That's all well and good. And anybody could do that. You don't have to be a nazir to, you know, to take that upon yourself. But here's the problem. The problem is that the conclusion of nazirs, you're bringing karbanos. That's problem number one. When I say problem, I mean that either you're obligated or you're not obligated. One of the karbanos that you bring is a karban chatas. Karban chatas you cannot bring voluntarily. So either you're obligated or you're not obligated. So over here, even in the case, even if we're going to say suffik lahachmir, but on the case of suffik, if you are obligated, that's fine. But if you're not obligated, you're bringing karbanos, and specifically karban chatas that you're not obligated to bring. That's problem number one. Problem number two, at the conclusion of the zirus, you're going to take a razor and you're going to shave your head, right? Including the payas, including the beard. You're shaving your head. Now, normally speaking, what is that? That's called an iser in the Torah. Good. But in the world of Naziris, the Torah says at the termination of Naziris, Torah says, but that's what you're supposed to do. So, if you're a Nazir and you're taking on Naziris, so good. So what you're doing is a good thing, because you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do. If you're not a Nazir, so now you're in violation of taking a razor to your head, which you're not allowed to do. So, to just simply say Suffolk Lahachmir is insufficient, meaning there's a problem that exists at the end of Naziris that can't just simply say we're going to be Machmir. With that introduction, now let's take a look at Rabbi Shimon's statement. So again, you made a commitment to be a Nazir on the condition that you had a son, and unfortunately it was a Nafil, and you do not know whether it was a viable or not viable child. So what should you do? So Rabbi Shimon says, Yomar, make the following declaration. Im haya ben kaya mahareini Nazir chova. So the declaration goes like this. If the child was a viable child, so I'm obligated to be a Nazir, which means that all these karbanos that I'm bringing and the head that I'm shaving, my head that I'm shaving, is now part of the obligation that I made because the condition was satisfied. However, on the other side, im lav hare ani nazir nadava. But if the child was not viable, so and I wasn't obligated in these karbanos, so what I'll do is I will now take on nazirus. Meaning nazir nadava just simply means fine. I'm not obligated to be Nazir. I'm obligating myself to be Nazir. Meaning I'll take it upon myself now. So in other words, just simply cover your bases. If the child was viable, I'm already obligated. If the child was not obligated, I take on the obligation of being a Nazir. Okay.
The chatas is brought
out tonight, but again, either side of the tonight is going to require you to bring the karban chatas.
Right,
correct. Okay, good. So that is Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint, but again, Rabbi Shimon gets to that point because Safik Nazir Lahachmer, Safik Nadarm Lahachmer. We're going to be Machmer, but it's not enough to say that you're going to be Machmer, because you have to take into consideration that you're bringing a karban chatas, so you make that declaration. Good. Now, Chaz v'Yalda. Now, we're dealing with basically the same story, just this is like kind of like chapter 2 of the story. Meaning in chapter 1 he said, I'm going to be Nazir if I had a son. And what came out was, unfortunately, a miscarriage. It was a Nafil. Okay. Now, what the Tanakhama's position is that you're nothing. You're not a Nazir, because it's a Suffolk. We don't know if the child was viable or not. Then, here and now, the second part of the story, Chaz v'Yalda. Then, wife became pregnant again, had another child. Child, Baruch Hashem, came out to be a viable child. So, Harei Zeh Nazir. So, according to the Tanakhama, now you're good. Meaning, because you weren't a Nazir from the first birth, because the first birth was a Nafil. And according to the Tanakhama, that did not result in you being a Nazir, because Suffolk Nazirus were going to be Mekel. So, when your wife then has the next child, the next son, so now you're going to be a Nazir. So, according to the Tanakhama, it's very smooth. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yomar. Now, Rabbi Shimon says it like this. Now, remember, Rabbi Shimon was Machmer after the first Nafil. So now you had your next child, and this child came out fine, viable. So Rabbi Shimon Omer Yomar. So here's how your statement should go. Ima Rishon Ben Kayama, Rishon Chova Vizunadava. Look, if the first one was a Ben Kayama, So then, the first one is a chova, and this one's going to be a nedava. Because remember, Rabbi Shimon says, on the suffix that the first one was viable, you have to bring a carbon for that first one. Well, now that your wife had a second child and a viable one, so now all it did was just compound the suffix. So here's how the statement has to be. Look, I'm already now on the hook for my first child that I had, even though it was an aphel. So if that first one was viable, so then the nazirus that I do for the first one is going to be chova. And then this one I'm going to bring nedava, because I already took care of my conditional nazirus with the first one. What if the first one was not viable? Fine. So the first nazir and carbon nazir that I bring for the first one, that's my own option. That was my own nedava. I voluntarily did that. And now, this being my first viable child, so on this now, a chova, now this one's going to be an obligation. So basically, what Rabbi Shimon is saying is that you always have to take into consideration that first birth, even though it was an aphel, may have been a viable child, so you're going to bring karbanos for that first one, and even if the wife has a second child afterwards, which was definitely viable, so you're going to have to now bring two karbanozirs, and again, make a clause that takes both considerations into account. Okay.
On the second one, he brings two karbanos at the same
time? Well, the second, according to Rabbi Shimon.
First and the second?
According to Rabbi Shimon, he's going to have to bring two, because that first one may have been viable. Okay. Now,
if the second one's an
aphel, so then it's more complication, more confusion. So then I would imagine...
Nothing.
According to Rabbi Shimon, because Safek Nazirus Lahachmir.
The first one.
Well, the... No. Oh, let's... Oh, I'll tell you what, we'll talk after, but I...
Did Rabbi Shimon require to bring in a davar if it's a suffix,
so again, so now he has to bring, but he has...
already for the first one.
Good, and he's going to have to bring for the second one. Because every time you have a child, you're...
But you're saying for the second one, he's doing double?
Right, because you don't know... Even though he's bringing for the first one, he doesn't know if he has to.
Yeah. The first one was a mistake.
Right. So we start off now going back to the beginning of the Mishnah, and the Gemara, as it traditionally does, goes step by step through the Mishnah, trying to explain. You know, there didn't seem to be any chidushim that came out of the Mishnah. So the Gemara is going to take us now step by step. Hi, my lememra. So the first part of the Mishnah, like, what is it coming to teach us? The person says that if I have a son, I'm going to be a nazir. He had a son, he's a nazir. Okay, that doesn't seem like you need a Mishnah for that. Mishum Seifa. So the Gemara says, no, it takes us to the next part of the Mishnah. Bastam Tamar Jagana Seinu Nazir. Well, the next statement of the Mishnah is, well, if he had a daughter or either the gender was unknown or the gender was both, so he's not a Nazir. So the Gemara says, Pshita, but that also is obvious. Meaning, even if the first statement of the Mishnah leads us into the second statement of the Mishnah, but the second statement of the Mishnah doesn't seem to be saying anything as well. So Mao Detema, so the Gemara says, no. There, it is a chiddush because he said the word ben, and ben normally means the son. That part's true, but it could also be understood in the following: lecheshei banehu dekaamar. Maybe ben over here just simply means from the word binyan, like Tosu says. In other words, construction. Look, in other words, I just want, I want to propagate, all right? I would like the next generation to come. So the word ben over here doesn't have to be taken super literally as a son. It could also be understood under the word of binyan. And maybe binyan also includes a girl as well, or for that matter, any viable child. Kamash Malan Delo, so that's the Chiddush. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is that was a Havamina, and that's the Havamina that the Mishnah is rejecting. And that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. The Imam Rakeshayi Li Vlad, and then we go on to the next part of the Mishnah where he says, the person says that if I have a Vlad, any viable child, so then I'm going to be a Nazir. So what did the Mishnah teach us? That if he has any viable child, he's going to be a Nazir. And again, we're asking. That's obvious. Pshita. Ma detema Vlad demichshiv bini inshik meinan kamash malan. So the Gemara says that Zahava, meaning I might have thought that Vlad also is just specific to a son. Somebody who is michshiv bini inshi, so to say, hangs out with the guys. Maybe that's what the guy was thinking, as a havamina. The Chiddush is no. He said Vlad. He didn't say Ben. He meant any child. Good. Hipila ishto ino nazir. If his wife unfortunately miscarried, so according to the Tanakam of our Mishnah, he is not going to be a Nazir. Man Ketanila, who's the author of that opinion? Rabbi Yehuda decree who? It is Rabbi Yehuda from the case of the Kri. Now Tosus points out, and this is just all just good way to organize all this information, right? When do you become a Nazir? So basically amongst the Tanaim there are three opinions. Two Rabbi Yehuda opinions, which I know is strange, because why would Rabbi Yehuda have two different opinions? But and the way we're going to identify the two Rabbi Yehuda opinions is, one is called Rabbi Yehuda Decree, which I'm about to explain. The second one is called Rabbi Yehuda Dafla, which I'll explain also in just a moment. And the third opinion is Rabbi Shimon. So let's take it one by one. So first, the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Decree. What's that? So that takes us back to the Gemara in Daf Ches, where the Gemara over there had the following scenario. I say I'm going to be a Nazir. We just harvested, and I took a lot of grain, and I put it in the granary, and it seems like a lot. And it looks almost like 100 kor, right? That's a lot, right? A kor is 30 saw. Okay, I'm not helping, but it's a lot. So it seems like 100 kor, so I make the following declaration. I will be a Nazir if there's 100 kor in the silo. And then what happens is, unfortunately, the next morning you wake up, you're ready to measure, to find out how much is there, and it's gone. And now, may have been there, may have been 100, it was there. It may have been 100 kor, you just don't know. So are you going to be a Nazir, yes or no? Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're not. Because it's a suffix. We don't know whether or not it met the criteria of you being a Nazir. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you're not going to be a Nazir. That's called Rabbi Yehuda Decree. So Rabbi Yehuda decree meaning the case of the pile of grain. So Rabbi Yehuda decree is of the opinion that if you commit yourself to being a Nazir, but now and you made it conditional, but you don't know if the condition was satisfied or not, so you're simply not going to be a Nazir. So the Gemara points out, our Mishnah is following, the Tanakam of our Mishnah is following along exactly in those footsteps. The Tanakam of our Mishnah says, I'm going to be Nazir if I have a son. His wife miscarried. It's possible that the child was a viable child, just premature death, or maybe the child was just simply not viable from the very beginning. We don't know. The Nafel's just, it's inconclusive. So, Rabbi Yehuda will tell you, now we don't know if the condition was satisfied, he's not going to be a Nazir. Okay. That's one opinion. The other opinion, which we're going to introduce ourselves to in just a moment, is Rabbi Shimon, which we already did. We already saw back in the Mishnah, where Rabbi Shimon says, no, if we don't know the condition was satisfied or not, so we're on the case of Suffolk, we're going to be Machmir. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And interestingly enough, there's a third opinion, which the Gemara doesn't discuss, but Tosfos mentions it, and I'll mention it, and that is Rabbi Yehuda Dahafla. What's the case of Rabbi Yehuda Dahafla? Guy's walking down the street, and he looks like a hippie. Or at least that's my opinion. And then I'm speaking to my friend, and my friend says, no, he's not a hippie, he's a Nazir. And we get into now this all-important debate of whether or not he's a hippie or he's a Nazir. We could both be right. We could both be right. So the... but anyway, so we're having this debate, and I say, you know what? Well, if I'm right, I'm going to be a Nazir. And you, on the other side of the debate, say, well, you know what? If I'm right, I'm going to be a Nazir. Okay, so each one of them now is basically banking or betting on whether they're going to be Nazir based on a piece of information which they don't know yet, but later will be discovered. Rabbi Yehuda Dahafla says neither of them are a Nazir. Even after he comes over, and after he tells us whether he is or isn't a Nazir, one of us is right, one of us is wrong. Rabbi Yehuda says that the only time a person becomes a Nazir is only if at the point of articulation and origination, he knows he's going to be a Nazir. If you're betting on a future, which even if you find out the result, according to Rabbi Yehuda Hafla, you're not going to be a Nazir. So basically, three opinions amongst the Tanaim. Either opinion number one is that if you set it on a condition, but you don't know whether the condition was satisfied or not. So Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah, the Tanakam of our Mishnah, and the case of Rav Yehuda of the pile of grain says you're not going to be a Nazir. Rabbi Shimon says that if it was a Suffolk, you are going to be a Nazir. And then the third opinion, which is not being discussed here in our Gemara, but Tosfos mentions it, is Rav Yehuda Dafla, which says that you're going to be a Nazir only if you know the information at the time of articulation. Okay. So, the Tanakam of our Mishnah is Rav Yehuda decree. Good. Rabbi Shimon Omer Yomim Haya Ben Kayama Harini Nazir Chovav Yimlav Harini Nazir Nadava. And then we go on to the next case of our, not the next case, but the next opinion in our Mishnah, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And as we just got done explaining, Rabbi Shimon says, Safek Naziris Lachmer. Okay. Ba'mine Rabbi Abba me Rav Huna. The following question was asked from Rav Huna. Harini Nazar Lechishieli Ben. Okay, I'm going to explain the Gemara now like Tosfos, which is pretty much what I've been doing since the beginning of the Masechta. So, the case goes like this, according to Tosfos. A person makes a declaration that he's going to be Nazir when he has a son, like we've been discussing since the beginning of this morning. The Pilo Yishton, unfortunately, his wife miscarried. Now, according to the Tanakhama, you ignore it, because we don't know whether or not it was viable or wasn't viable. So according to Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, the Tanakam of our Mishnah, same, you just simply let it go. But remember, according to Rabbi Shimon, that in of itself is going to require a carbon. But now the case gets complicated by the following. The hifrish carbon, and you set aside a carbon. Okay. Now, at this point in time, it's not going to be clear whether this is addressing Rabbi Yehuda's position or Rabbi Shimon's position. Stay tuned. V'chazer v'yalda, and then what happens is that then she has a viable son. Now, the way Tosfos understands our Gemara is dealing with twins.
Did he make it? For the second pregnancy, did he make the same pregnancy?
It's not a second pregnancy. It's one pregnancy. You'll see.
No, but he said,
Just give me a moment. So, Tosfos says that we're talking about now that she was pregnant with twins. And what happened was, says Tosfos, is that the first one came out, and the first one did not come out alive. First one came out dead. And again, that question of, was it just a premature death, or was it simply not viable from the very beginning? And the difference would be, if it was a premature death, he had a child, unfortunately died early, and he would be a Nazir, or it just simply wasn't viable from the beginning, and therefore he's not a Nazir. So again, it's that suffix. But over here now, we're given one more piece of information, and that is, the sibling came out. And the sibling came out to be a viable child. And so now, what's incorporated in this question is the following. Can we make the argument that the second child will be revelatory about the first child? Meaning the second one is viable, so maybe the first one was viable as well. Again, suffering a premature death, but at least we can make the argument that it's viable. And Tosfos describes how we can make this argument based on the fact that the twins are coming from Zera Echad, it's coming from one seed. Again, not getting into the specifics of fraternal, identical. Right?
I
have both. So the Baruch Hashem. But in other words, not getting into that, but just simply, that's part of the argument that you can make. That's what the Gemara is asking in this question. And so if the second one is viable, so maybe you can make the argument that the first one was viable as well.
If the second one is viable, the first one should be irrelevant, because now he lived up to his requirement. He's got a son.
Right. Right. But right. Correct. But he was mafresh the carbon. That's why the question over here is super specific. He was mafresh the carbon over the birth of the first one, after the birth of the first one, meaning between the birth of baby A and baby B. So he's mafresh the carbon. It's a super specific question. So the Gemara says now that we have the case, again, it's an unusual scenario, but now that we have it, now the Gemara would like to identify, are we asking from the Tanakhama's perspective, are we asking from Rabbi Shimon? Aliba damani, aliba de Rabbi Shimon mati bailei. So hama Rabbi Shimon safin hizir slachmir. So the Gemara says, you know, according to Rabbi Shimon, we're not asking any question. Because remember, according to Rabbi Shimon, even if there was one baby, and now that baby dies, and so Rabbi Shimon says, you have to bring a carbon. Why? Because safik nazir slachmir. So from Rabbi Shimon's standpoint, the carbons are going to be necessary to be brought, even if there is no second child. So aliba de Rabbi Yehuda damar safik nazir slachmir. So Gemara says, correct, you're right. This very specific question, is being addressed according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says that you're going to not bring a carbon after the death of baby A, because again, suffix whether it was viable or not. But now we have more information, because now there's a second baby that's born, and the second baby lives and it's viable, it's successful. So now, regarding the first baby, so maybe now we can make the argument that the first baby also was viable, and so maybe if you are mafresh the carbon, now it is strange, and I will admit, why are you being, if you're subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda, why are you being mafresh a carbon after the first baby? I can't help you there. I don't, in other words, that part's strange. But if you subscribe to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda, it's such a specific question, and you were mafresh the carbon after the birth of baby A, which you didn't need to do, but there was a second baby that came in tow, and that second baby was viable, so maybe Rabbi Yehuda will tell you that hafrasha of the first baby was a good hafrasha. That's the Gemara's question. So my kadosh or lo kadosh? Does the carbon have sanctity or not? My nafkamina? And the Gemara says, and as far as practically speaking, what does that mean? Ligizaso v'lavod bo. Meaning, it has a kedusha of a carbon. You can't shear it, you can't work it. Okay, teku. The Gemara leaves this question unresolved.
How does Rav Shimon get around the idea that if there's a suffix, you're a Nazi, right?
Yes.
So what about the korban chatei got?
Right. So you missed it. It's fine. So as we explained earlier, that's why you have to make a clause when you mafresh the korban, and you have to say if the baby was viable, so then this is a korban and I'm good. And if the baby was not viable, so I'm taking on the zeros right now. In other words, so you have to make that clause when you bring this.
But the thing is, how could you bring your korban before it starts in zero?
No. In other words, he'll go through the Naziros, but before he goes through the Naziros, as he enters into the Naziros, the declaration is either I'm on the hook for this, and therefore I'm good, or if I'm not on the hook for it, I'm on the hook for it. Meaning, I'll make myself on the hook for it. That's that. So he'll make the clause in order to cover both bases. Yes.
You need 30 days.
Only to prove. Yes. Meaning, we don't know. Meaning, if the baby dies within 30 days, all it means is that we don't have enough evidence. Doesn't mean that the baby wasn't viable. Could mean the baby was viable and just suffered a premature death. We don't know. So like I explained earlier this morning, like in other areas of halacha, we're going to be mekel. Like in a novel, like in the world of avelos. So we're going to be mekel. Not because we know that the baby wasn't viable, just simply because in the world of avelos, we're going to be mekel. But here, we're talking about becoming a nazir, acceptance of a nazir. Now we're talking about a suffix d'araisa. Okay, so.
Isn't there enough love if avelos is mid-raisa, and this will prove it's mid-raisa?
Yeah, right. Right? Okay, could be. Could very well be. Okay, continuing in the Gemara, we are now at the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph, Bamine Ben Rechume Me Abaye. So the following question was asked from Ben Rechume to Abaye. So again, so you, I quoted a Rashash the other day. Quote today, Amar Tzchayas. Again, I don't normally quote Amar Tzchayas says as follows. Very interesting, right? A question is asked from an Amora by the name of Ben Rechume. So, as you would suspect, but the Maariv Chayes says it, that's not his actual name. Meaning, every now and then, right, we have our usual list of Amoraim that are in the Beis Medrash and teaching us halachas. Rav, Shmuel, Abaye, Rava, right, Rabba, Rav Yosef, I went out of order. So the Ravina, Ravashi, meaning there are a host of Amoraim that we're used to, and then they weren't the only Amoraim out there, but they're the ones who, you know, are the Balei Masora, they're the ones who provide the tradition. But there are other Amoraim, and every now and then, so they make it into the Gemara. Okay, and so the Maariv Chayes says that when you have an Amora who is not frequent in the Gemara, comes up maybe once or twice in the Gemara, so the Gemara doesn't quote him by name, the Gemara gives him a nickname. And the nickname that the Gemara gives him is specific to the question that he asks. Right, very interesting. Maariv Chayes says it right on this Gemara. So over here, the Ben Rechume is not his name; it's the nickname that's provided for him because you'll see in just a moment it's specific to the question that was asked. Okay, so by minei Ben Rechume me Abaye, hareini nazir lechishieli Ben. So let's say the following: I'm desperate for a son, so I say I'm going to be a nazir if I have a son, like our Mishnah. V'shama chaver v'amar v'alai, and the friend hears and the friend says, you know what? Sounds great, me too. Right? V'alai. Now, mahu adibura mashma or agufe mashma. Now, the ambiguity in that commitment of the second person should be obvious. I mean, talking about obvious ambiguity. But it should be obvious. Because when he says va'alai, it could be understood in one, two ways. It could be understood as follows. You know, right, I'm rooting for you as well. And when you have that baby, I'll be an Ozer. That's one way to understand it. Or the other way to understand it is, oh, you know what? I also am looking forward to a son. So that's such a good idea. I'm going to take on the same commitment myself, that if and when I have a son, I'm going to become an Ozer. So how do you understand it? Is it adibure or is it agufe? Is it on his words, meaning I'm backing you, I'm also going to be an Ozer when you have a son, or agufe, is it going on me? So is he being selfless or selfish? So imtim salam agufe mashma. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it's going on he himself. So amar hareni nazir lechisheli ben. So the Gemara now goes one step further. Let's say the first person says, I'm going to be a nazir if I have a son. V'shem chaver v'amar v'ani. One word change. So here in the second question, he doesn't say the word alai. Alai usually is an indication that I'm taking upon myself. V'ani could be understood as me too, right? As we would say in the vernacular. So mahu anafshe kamar or dilma hachi kamar. Rachim nalach kavasech. So the Gemara says, again, same basic issue. The va'ani could either be, I'm speaking personally, I'd say selfishly, but it's not, you know, I'm grading on a curve. You know, he's not being that selfish. He's saying that when I have a son, I'm going to be a Nazir, just like you said, when you have a son, you're going to be a Nazir. Or maybe, once again, va'ani means I have a rooting interest in you having a son. Meaning, just like you're so desperate, you said you're going to have a son, you're going to become a Nazir, I'm going to join you in the Naziris. Maybe that's what he means, va'ani. So, and hachi kama rechimna lach kavasech. Rechimna lach. Right? I love you. Kavasech. And I'm going to be with you on this one. And that's why, says the Maariv Chayes, that's why it's called Ben Rechume. Based on the specific nature of the question.
Huh? But his name seems to answer.
Right. And maybe what the argument is as follows. Look, we all have a degree of selfishness. It's, you know, we're hardwired that way. I've quoted the Ramban previously. You know, on the all famous pasuk v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. So the Ramban writes over there on the Chumash. So that the Torah is exaggerating. The Ramban says it. So, you know, it's something to say, but he says it. He says the Torah is exaggerating. You cannot love somebody more than you love yourself. The Torah is telling you that
that's
you should. Right, you're right, correct. You should try. But obviously, you can't love somebody as much as you love yourself. So, anyway, so the Gemara says like this. Look, if you're in the other person's presence, ksifei le'milsa, like it's embarrassing. Meaning, if he's desperate for a son and he says, I want a son, and if I have a son, I'm gonna be a Nazir, you're not right there as he's praying to Hashem to have a son and declaring his Naziris if in fact he has a son. You're not gonna then say right in front of him, hey, you know what? Me too, meaning, and if I have a son, in other words, ksifei le'milsa, that's embarrassing. So when you are in front of him, clearly, the only way to understand the word vani is, I'm rooting for you, I'll be a nazir if you have a son. Gemara says, Amar hareini nazir, I'm sorry. So, ksifalei milsa. Amar hareini nazir l'chashela ploni ben. So the Gemara says, fine. There, we know what the word vani means. Because of basic social norms. However, if let's say the first person says, you know what? I'm actually rooting for somebody else, a third party. All right, another person who is so desperate to have a child, and you know what? If he has a child, he's not here right now. But if he has a child, I'm going to become a Nazir. And then in the dialogue that he's having with the second guy, the second guy now says Va'ani. Yeah, me too. Now here, the person that we're talking about is not present. So now you could be a little more selfish. and it's possible that you could sound a little more selfish. So the Gemara says, maybe, now that the guy in question is not here, we're talking about a guy, but he's not here right now, so maybe I'm talking about myself, and I could be a little bit selfish because he's not here. Or the Gemara says, oh no, maybe Vani over here means, you know what, you're rooting for him, I'm rooting for him as well. And when he has a child, you're going to be a Nazir, and I'll be a Nazir. Tibai. So the Gemara says, okay, we'll leave the question unresolved.
Maybe because we learned in another Mishnah, he made a Nazir, then he said,
I'll lie,
and then he gave a qualifier.
Yeah. Okay.
He did it in that case.
So right, right. Okay, good, very good. So Ben Rechumi asked the question, Ben Rechumi did not get an answer, but we now introduced ourselves, you know, of the 2,700 pages of Gemara, so we introduced ourselves to the unusual Amora by the name of Ben Rechumi. Okay.
Why did it say Tekunazatiboy?
Yeah, so in Adarim, I was actually thinking about this. So in Adarim, so we have the word Tibaye, and the Ran over there says, you know, in Adarim is such an unusual Masechta. Right, it doesn't follow the general parlance of. I know that. That's why I was thinking about it. So it doesn't follow the general parlance of the other Masechtos and Shas, and therefore in Adarim we find the word Tibai all the time. Here, right, as exactly as you observed, the Gemara said Teiku on the first off.
Teiku and is an acronym. What is Tibai?
No, Teiku. We say Teiku is an acronym. I know, but. Just a little secret. The word take, we say that, and it's nice, but the word take actually means let the matter stand.
Uh-huh.
So another...
Same thing.
Right. Correct. And it's a nice acronym, but the word itself actually means the matter is going to stand. Tibai means the question is asked, and good, we have a question. Mm-hmm. We don't know the answer. So over here, right, we vacillated. We went from Teiku to Tibai, yes. Right, in the same daf. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll start the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah is complicated, and if I can try to draw you to tomorrow's daf is really complicated. I mean, just if I can try to promote it. So the but we'll start today with a Mishnah. Hareini Nazir v'Nazir Kishiyeh Li Ben. So this person now takes on two terms of Naziris. The first term of Naziris is nice and simple and very straightforward, and he says Hareini Nazir. I'm going to be a Nazir. Period. That is commitment number one. And he doesn't specify how much time it is, and then we go back to what we learned in the first parak. Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom. So now he's going to be a Nazir for 30 days. Good. V'Nazir Kishiyeh Li Ben. And then he makes a second commitment. Then the second commitment is if and when I have a son, I'm going to be a Nazir. Okay, so the second commitment obviously is locked and loaded, but we waiting for the trigger, and that is the having of a son. But there's another.
Do you know if his wife is pregnant yet or not?
It could be. I'm not sure if it matters, but in other words, he's going to be now a Nazir, but that represents a second commitment. So there are two commitments of Naziris. And just to make this discussion hopefully a little more organized and neater, so let's call it A and B. Meaning A, meaning I'm talking about the commitment of Naziris. So he has an A Naziris and a B Naziris. Okay? The A, really, in theory, should start immediately. And the B, obviously, is going to only be contingent on him having a son. Okay? The Mishnah then goes on. Sarina Nazir v'Nazir Kishiyeh Li Ben. His chomon is shalom. So, okay? Mitzvah habali yada al tach mitzenu. Right, you have a mitzvah opportunity, so don't delay, do it right away. So he took on his Naziris commitment, so he started counting his own Naziris. And then he had a son, which, by the way, seems to answer your question. Because, right, the son was had prior to the completion of his first Naziris, of his Naziris A. So over here, the Mishnah says, this one's easy. Good. Mashlem eshalo, v'achar kach moneshal b'no. So here, good. You are completing your Naziris in the order that you took it. First finish your own Naziris, which you already started anyway. So first finish your own Naziris. When I say finish, I mean then shave at the end, bring the karbanos, good. And then you're on the hook for now a second Naziris. Because he said you're going to be Nazir when you had a son, and Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed you with a son. Good. Now let's switch. Hareini Nazir Kishiyeh Li Ben v'Nazir. So now same thing, but what we did is we flipped. The first commitment that he made was he's going to be a Nazir. Excuse me. He's going to be a Nazir when he has a son. That's now Naziris A. That's his first commitment. And then he takes on a second commitment for whatever motivated him. I also want to take another commitment of Naziris for no other reason than I just simply want to be an usher. And we'll call that commitment B. Okay. Now he hasn't had the son yet, and you know what? I know I'm doing this out of order, but let me just start my own Aziris first. His chomona is shalom. So what he did is he first started his own. The achakach nola lo ben, and afterwards he had a son. While in the middle of his Naziris. Now, meniach eshalo, umona eshal beno. So here now is where things get complicated. So now, here's the problem. The problem is that he conducted his Naziris out of order. Because the order that he took the Naziris on was first the Naziris for having the son, and then Stam Naziris. But he started the Stam Naziris first. Now the Mishnah does not give us any good indication of whether what he did was right or wrong. There's no clear indication of whether he was entitled to have started that second commitment first. But he did. And so now the Mishnah says, so here's what he should do. And this is going to be unusual, and this is really leads us to tomorrow's daf. So what he should do is he should pause in the middle of his Naziris B. Now, what I mean by pause is not perfectly clear. But I'll just say it. He'll pause in the middle of B, miniach eshalo, so he'll leave his Naziris, his B Naziris, and I say leave, I mean...
Not even sure.
Wait, just 1 second. He'll push the pause button. Mona Shabano. Now we'll start counting for having a son, because that was the A commitment. And then V'acharkach Mashal Mishalo. And then afterwards, he'll complete and conclude his own Naziris. Now. Yeah, correct. Okay, good. So you're asking the right questions. So so over here, Tosus does not discuss, but the Rush on the Gemara over here discusses. And the Rush basically says like this. Let's think about this for a moment. Both Naziris are 30-day Naziris. Okay, so now, whenever he had the son, we're now discussing the second case where it was the A, B, the A was the son Naziris, and the B was Tam Naziris. And again, he served the Naziris out of order. And the Mishnah says, so what you're supposed to do now, if you have the son in the during the interim of your B Naziris, is that you should pause B, go back to A, complete A, and then finish B. The Rush says, either, however you cut it up, it doesn't really matter. Clearly what's going to happen is that as you hit the pause button, you're somewhere in the middle of 30 days. Okay. When you serve out your 30 days for having the son, your A Naziris, so there, at the end of that 30 days, you have a nice lock of hair, you could shave, and you could bring karbanos. The problem is that the Mishnah says, and then you finish serving your B Naziris. Now you're finishing serving your B Naziris. However you cut it up, what's going to happen is that the conclusion of your B Naziris, you don't have a lock of hair. Right. Meaning we know that at the end of Naziris there is a shave of the head. But we also know that you have to have pera. You have to have hair. And by hair we don't just simply mean a little bit of growth. You have to have a good amount of hair. And as we learned earlier in the Masechta, a good amount of hair, by definition, is a minimum of a 30-day growth. So here now becomes a problem. If we're going to argue that you're going to shave after your A Naziris, meaning your son Naziris, so then when you count out the remainder of your B Naziris, you simply won't have sufficient hair to do a proper giluach. But at the same time, however, the Mishnah says, Mashlem Mishalom. The Mishnah doesn't say that you have to count another 30 days. All the Mishnah says is that you took whatever you counted from before the son was born, you add that to the, right, you add that to the whatever balance is left, and the Mishnah seems to indicate that that's fine. So the Rush says, I could argue both ways. I can argue that even though you're serving, you're in the middle of B, but now you have your A commitment that occurs in the middle of B. Serve your A commitment, and the Rush writes, and don't get a haircut. Right? I don't mean a haircut, and don't shave, because if you do, then you're going to have nothing left for the end of your B commitment. So then,
Correct.
That's why things are now getting complicated. So the Rush says, so I, on one hand, I can make that argument that really you shouldn't shave, leave it over for the second one. Now, in terms of carbonos, I'm not sure. Meaning, at the end, you're going to now bring two sets of carbonos at the end.
Yes.
Okay, good. So you bring two carbonos at the end with one shave. On the other hand, the Rush says that I also would have a difficult time arguing that you're not going to shave after both Nazirus because they're two different Nazirus. So you're going to shave after both. But then, how can you, after having served your A, how can you shave for B if you don't have a lock of hair? So on the second side, the Rush says, so maybe we will say like this, and this is also strange. Maybe we'll say that you'll finish the balance of your Nazirus
and you wait.
Yeah.
When you shave after
A, right? And then you finish your Nazirus of B, but then you wait. So what? Right, and correct, and then correct, and then that becomes strange because here you are now having served your Nazirus, but at the same time you're simply going to have to wait for your hair to grow in order to shave. So you'll say, right? Just one second. So then where are you in this limbo period? Right, correct. So in other words, are you a Nazir? You're not a Nazir. Right. Can you drink wine? I can't imagine. You didn't bring your carbonos yet. So you didn't conclude your Nazirus. On the other hand, you could also make the argument, let's say by accident you came into contact with a mace. Does that upset the days? I would say no, because you counted. You finished counting. You're just simply in a limbo period waiting to get a haircut. So the Rush says, I could argue both sides of that. Fine. The Rush presents both opinions. Unclear. But the Mishnah says that if it's AB, so really in terms of serving out the Nazirus, sequentially you should do AB. The Mishnah second half was, what if you started B and then A interrupts B? So you should interrupt A. You should interrupt B with A. And then finish B. And exactly what that means, finish B, Maslam. So again, I present the two sides of the argument. Very good. We finished over here. Tomorrow we start with the Gemara. Rava asks a whole series of questions. That was quote unquote the easy part. Tomorrow's daf, admittedly, is going to be a little bit complicated, but okay. That's
so all person can know.